Classic Rock 102.9 MGK. If you're going to go out on the road with a rock band, you might as well go out with the best ones that there are. And James Tappy Wright has done that. The man's been on the road with Jimi Hendrix, with Elvis, with the Animals, with Tina Turner. And the list goes on and on. He's got a new book out called Rock Roadie. And we've got him on the phone live from, where are you, James? Where are you, Tappy?
That's right. Sundays only I get called James. I'm in Newcastle, England at the moment.
You're like up in like the northeast corner of the country.
That's right. This is the Animals country, where the Animals came from.
I thought so. And so basically you're sitting on just a big rock that they're digging a hole in.
That's it. You've heard a cold from Newcastle. That's it.
Yeah. That's it. Were the Animals the first band you went to work for?
Yeah. I used to play with a little rival group. I was a guitar man, and there was two of us, and the Animals came along one night, and they stole the other guitar player. Anyhow, the Animals got themselves an audition in London, and they didn't have a vehicle, and I did. So I drove them down. They passed the audition, and Eric Burdon says, look, you know, do you want to be our roadie? And I said, sure. So that's how I started.
I mean, I've had Eric on the show before, and Eric claims to have been very close with Jimi Hendrix. I know you worked with Hendrix.
Yeah, Eric and Jimi were very close, yeah.
I heard that you have a theory that Jimi didn't die, that he was basically murdered. Is that true?
That is correct, sir, yes. And it's not a theory. I'm telling you now that is exactly what happened.
Give me some detail here, because all I have is the fact that you have this theory. How do you claim that this is true?
Okay, it's not a theory. What happened was, you have to understand the whole history. The Animals manager was a guy called Michael Jeffries.
Okay.
And he was also the manager for Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
It was okay in the beginning. Jimi was working fine, and we had two or three good hits when he was in England. We did Purple Hay, Hey Joe, you know, Foxy Lady, all that kind of stuff. Then we did Monterey, and then that was a success. Jimi went across to America. And he kind of started taking a lot more drugs.
Right.
So he was getting awkward, didn't want to work. Mike Jeffries was in big trouble with the money. He was building a studio. Because Jimi would go in the studios and spend weeks in there. And quite honestly, he could never make any money because the studio bills were like $200,000 and stuff.
Gotcha.
So they said, we'll build our own. Same time they started to build the studio, they discovered problems like an underground stream. And, you know, the area they were building the studio was controlled by the mob. So they weren't very happy we were going in there. The IRS hit Mike Jeffries with a tax demand of $30,000 a month. He couldn't pay that. He didn't have any money. He was in big trouble. They were going to take the studio off him. So our guy out there, we used to work with Sinatra. He knew the mob. He asked me, he says, come here, you're coming with me. And I drove down to New Jersey with this guy. And he went into the building, just like what you see in the movies, the big iron gates, the guys outside. It was just all like that. And I wasn't in, I was just outside. But anyway, he came out with a package, and he borrowed money from the boys. Mike found out from his lawyer that Jimi was about to leave him and sign up with another guy. Jimi made the mistake of going to the same lawyer, which was rather silly. Anyhow, so Mike was going to lose his artist. His contract was up in 2 months' time. He was in so much debt. Plus, you know, he owed money to the wrong people. He was going to be financially bankrupt and probably dead. He had an insurance policy, which he very cleverly got Jimi to sign for $2 million. We know that's true because I seen all the money as it came in because Mike paid everything off. He told me why he did it, and he told me how he did it. The reason why he did it, he was worth to him a lot more money dead than alive, and Mike was an ex-special service guy in the army in this country, killed many a person, so killing to him was nothing, you know. And he got it, he brought in these special guys, his friends of his, and they held him back, and they poured the wine straight into his windpipe, which drowned him.
Wow.
Wow.
All this business where you read he died from inhalation of vomit, well, that was the first theory, because the guy that was in charge at the hospital at the time just seen a young black guy coming in there with vomit all over him. But then he thought there was something suspicious because of the amount of wine that was all over his hair and his clothes. So he put in what you call an open verdict. An open verdict on your death certificate means there's something suspicious.
Now, Tappy, I mean, how come we have never heard this story from anybody else?
Well, because who else is going to? I'm the only one that knew. We were going around Europe and England with a film of Hendrix, Jimmy Plays Berkeley, and it was a success, and we were planning to come back to America to show the movie out there. And he bought a house, he paid Al Hendrix off all this money, bought his half of the studio, and I said, where's all the money come from? And that's when he told me. And I didn't really want to know that. And I didn't want to say anything about this, because I knew I would have been in the obituary column. Both his girlfriends ended up dead. It was just too much going on for me to say anything, so I just kept it quiet. Even after he died in a mysterious aircraft crash, I thought, oh, God, it's just too many people dying here. And I just quit the business for a few years, and I came up north back to where I am now, Newcastle.
So is everybody who could have threatened you now dead, and that's why you feel comfortable coming out now?
Well, I don't know that they're dead. I mean, the mob guys are probably either dead or in jail. They'll probably be in their late 70s now if they're still alive, so I don't feel threatened anymore. Yeah, I don't know who they are anyhow, but if I did, I would have told long before now.
If you started out with the animals, how long did you spend on the road as a roadie? How much time, how many years were you on the road doing that?
Well, I did it in a couple of stages, but all in all, over 20 years.
Uh-huh. Now, how did you end up in a cake fight with John Lennon?
Well, what happened? We did a big show over here called Ready, Steady, Go.
Sure, I remember that.
My birthday is just before Christmas, and we did a Christmas special TV show for Ready, Steady, Go. So the Animals organized a birthday party for me in this big London nightclub. And Eric brought John Lennon with him because he was very good friends with John Lennon. So, you know, we had a great big party, and as I was about to cut the cake, I ended up in it. But I didn't mind. It was John Lennon, so what did I care?
Now, did you really hang up on Elvis?
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, because Elvis, to me, was my idol. I mean, what happened? We flew in. I flew in with a band called Herman's Hermits, Peter Noon.
Sure.
He was huge in the United States, probably the original boy band, you know.
Yeah, I would. You know what? I've never heard anybody put that way before, Tappy, but you are probably hitting the nail right on the head. They really were the original boy band.
Yeah. So anyhow, we just flew in and into the Hilton Hawaiian Village, a big hotel in Hawaii. So I told the girl, I said, look, please, no phone calls. We're so tired. We've done a long-haul flight. We just got into bed, and then bring, bring. And it wasn't for me. It was for Peter, of course. But I answered the phone, and it was, oh, hi there. It was Elvis Presley. And I said, yeah, something like go forth and multiply or something. And then I went downstairs, and I complained. I said to the guy, I said, look, what is this? I told you no calls. I just had some guy on the phone telling me it's Elvis Presley. She says, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wright. That was Mr. Presley. He's in the same building. Oh, please, I just told him where to go. Something like, can you put me through? And she put me back through, and I apologized. And he said, hey, don't worry about it. He says, I can't even order a pizza back home. Nobody believes it's me, you know. So we all went out to lunch the next day. We were making a movie, and he took us out. So it was a great thrill.
Tappy, I'm just curious. We've covered the rock and roll. We've covered the drugs. What about sex? We always hear that groupies try to get to the bands through the tour manager, which you were. Do you have any personal experience with anybody famous?
Well, did I sleep with anybody famous?
Any Tappy juice, yeah.
No.
Tappy juice? That's disgusting.
I turned down Jane Mansfield. I suppose that was a good
one. How did that happen?
What, you turned down Jane Mansfield?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
Well, she scared the hell out of me. She was the man eater, you know. Yeah. And
they were that big, huh?
Oh. I used to drive around, and she would hitch up her little skirt there, and you could see a little pink pants and stuff. Oh, my goodness. You know.
You didn't want to tap that, Tappy.
Tappy didn't want to tap that.
And I didn't know if it was the same pair because they were the same color every day, so I don't know.
Well, the book is Rock Roadie, Backstage and Confidential with Hendrix, with Elvis, with the Animals and Tina Turner, and a cast of thousands. Tappy Wright, the author. Tappy, thank you so much for the time.
That's my pleasure, sir. And if I'm in Philadelphia, I'd love to come along and see you.
I would love to have you here. Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK.